Amen.
That last part of that declaration, I pray over this house. The finances, there'll be an open heaven over this house like never before. In Jesus' name. Let it come from the north, south, east, and west. Let it come from wherever God wants to release it. We pray in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen, right? I found over the years that since we've been at Crosspoint and we've hosted many, many conferences over the years, we've had just all kinds of amazing conferences. I found a very weird dynamic about conferences that when we host them here, can't speak for any other house but this one, that after we've gone through a weekend like this one in particular where we have warred for a city, we've fought for people, we've fought for signs and wonders, I found it interesting that the very next Sunday or the very next weekend, we find that people have, and I'm going to use the word shrunk back, that's not the right word, I can't think of a better one at this time, but I find it in attendance, I find it in giving, I find it in energy, I find it in almost every category. And there's some reasons for that, I get it, right? We're all tired, we had a long weekend, but we're here, ready to roll, right? Maybe a little more intense, a little tired, more tired than normal. But reality is that we're not relenting from our purpose in being who God calls to be. Say it with me, loving a city and, say it again, and I find it interesting that this whole weekend was devoted to loving a city. And we had a decent representation of Crosspoint people there. But let me just whet your appetite a little bit. We went out yesterday. We had about 50 people there yesterday being trained. Pretty good, huh? And we sent out about 10 teams, I think it was, throughout really the streets of La Mesa. One in particular, I had my camera because I wanted to take pictures of the different teams that were engaging in prayer and in conversations and activity on the streets. Pretty cool, right? And so I ended up downtown La Mesa where a number of the teams were. And one of my favorite pictures was watching a friend of this house named Sherry Brown. Sherry and her team go and begin to pray. There's a brand new age store in downtown La Mesa. If you're not aware that La Mesa in particular is in a renaissance right now, there's a lot of new businesses coming in to the downtown of La Mesa. Quite a few new microbrew beer places, restaurants, retail, of course. But they have a brand new, hasn't been there very long, I don't remember what the name of it is. It doesn't matter. But our team went, and I just caught Sherry engaging in outside the store was the psychic reader for the day, the spiritual reader. It was a complete divine setup, right? I mean, like, we don't have to go inside. She's outside waiting for our team to go, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And matter of fact, the picture I took, it has her name and what she specializes in. Long story short, Sherry goes up and begins to engage her in conversation. Next thing I know, she's praying for healing for her ankle, okay? So she's engaging this gal and praying for her ankle to be healed while another, I guess she was the actual psychic of the store, walks out and I go, oh, this will be fun. So I'm at a distance with my telephoto lens watching and I see this person walk up and walks up and turns and she's talking to Sherry and the other person that's doing the readings, right? And I'm thinking, this could really end up fun. Like, you know, what's going to happen here? And long story short was that Sherry ended up leading that woman to the Lord. So next time we do an activating love, I want that kind of excitement to show up being trained and released on our streets. I share that with you because God is good all the time. And he's looking for people that will produce for him, if you will, in the kingdom. And it was so wonderful. We spent an hour yesterday afternoon just talking about what God did to some of the teams. And some of the teams are here this morning. And if we have time, I might have you just come up and share at least one story. Because Revelation 19:10 says what, Nancy? Revelation 19:10. I caught her talking, that's why. I'm going home Friday night from the training, and it's about 11 o'clock or so, going down La Mesa Boulevard, and I'm getting ready to make my right-hand turn onto Grossmont by that gas station. And as I'm pulling up just about maybe 20 or 30 yards from the turn into the gas station, I noticed a car that had in the right-hand lane that had pulled over and was parked at a kitty corner on the curb. Lights were flashing. So I just slowed down to take a little look to see what was going on. I didn't see anyone. So I went to Grossmont, made my turn. As I made my turn on the Grossmont, I noticed there was a young woman walking from the store. It looked like towards the street. So my first impression was, oh, somebody ran out of gas, right? And as I turned the corner and I made my way towards the freeway, I felt like the Father said, go back. Go, all right. So I make a turn into the gas station. I wasn't that far into my turn. Pull into the gas station, come to the other side to the La Mesa Boulevard. So I'd pull into the curb there. I get out and I walk around the corner and it's super dark in this one spot. And I couldn't see anyone. I thought, oh, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the person was going somewhere else with a can of gas, right? 11 o'clock at night. Just happened to be walking around with a can of gas. They weren't going to a car, right? They're just going home. Just in case their car ran out of gas. So I start to make my way toward the car, and she pops up because she was trying to get the gas into the car. Now, if you've ever bought one of those little one-gallon red gas cans from a 7-Eleven or other places, they don't pour. They got those little things at the top that keep you from it pouring out. Well, we could not get the thing to pour any gas out. We spent probably 5 minutes. We're all smelly with gas. And so here's the dialogue that took place. I'm sharing this because I want you to know that God sets up things divinely. If we're just willing to be his hands and his voice and to be his love, right? So I walk up to her and she was a little startled. I said, hi, are you okay? She goes, yeah, I just ran out of gas and I just can't seem to get the gas into the car. I go, well, listen, I'm just coming down from down the street, that church right there. And I said, I'm a dad. And I saw you walking. I thought maybe you ran out of gas. I thought, man, if it was my daughter, I would stop immediately and come check on you. And I said, I just want to make sure you're okay. And she was taken back. She said this. She goes, I asked 3 men to help me in the store, and none of them would help me. Not one. I said, well, let's see if we can get this thing, you know, get some gas in it. Could not get gas in the thing. I said, put that thing down. I'm going back in the store. I'm going to find somebody. We're going to push this car into the driveway. So I went and found an individual who was just paying for his whatever it was. And I said, hey, bro, can you help me push a car into the gas pumps? The gal ran out of gas. He looked at me and he said, I mean, honestly, he pondered what seemed like an eternity. Like, I go, bro, it won't take but a couple of minutes, I promise. You'll be on your way in no time. It's 11 o'clock at night. Where are you going, right? Probably had a pack of donuts and a milk. I don't know, or a beer. I don't know what he had. But he said, yeah, I'll help you. So we walk over, and it was the most difficult thing I've done in a long time, pushing that crazy car to that driveway. But we get it into the gas pump, and everybody scatters, and it's just the two of us. And so we have this conversation that goes like this. I go, listen, you look really familiar. Do you work close by? And we go back and forth for a few minutes just talking. And she's near tears, right? And I said, but, you know, and she was hesitant to tell me where she worked. I think she still wasn't sure if I was the real deal or not, right? And I don't blame her. I mean, I don't know how old she was, probably mid to late 20s. I could tell she came out off work. So I was trying to figure out where she was working and just maybe I'd seen her there, whatever. So she proceeds to tell me this. Let me back up. So we've been going for a while. She still hadn't put any gas in the car. And I said, can I just pray for you real quick? I just want to pray God to just give you peace in this moment. Because I could tell she was just anxious. I put my arm on her like this and just said, Father, just pray the blessing of heaven on her. Father, I just ask that you would just love on her and let her just feel your goodness right now, your kindness. And I said, Father, I pray for that relationship that she's concerned about, that person. I pray, God, that you would just let her know that that person's going to be okay and everything's going to work out in Jesus' name, right? She proceeds to tell me a story. She said, let me tell you why I ran out of gas. She said, there's a homeless young man, and she gets her phone out and shows me a picture of this guy. This is my city, right? And it's a younger person. I didn't recognize this individual. We know most of our are, what did you call it, chronic, what would the word be? Chronic homeless that live in La Mesa. We know who they are because we've seen them for years. They camp out around our church quite often. So we know names, we know faces. Didn't recognize this person. See, I've seen this person a number of times over the last number of days, and I've just felt real compassion for him. And she told me where she went to church. And if I told you where, you would kind of laugh because I've made a comment about this church before. Not derogatory, but everybody goes to this church. And so she said, I was going to try to find him. So I was going to make a left-hand turn on La Mesa Boulevard. And if she did that, she'd be coming back towards the church here, right? Right over here. And she didn't see him. So then she realized, oh my goodness, I'm running out of gas. So she makes another quick U-ey to go back up La Mesa Boulevard. And that's where she ran out of gas. Divine appointment, personally. And so she starts telling me the story about this homeless kid. And then I realized, oh, you just prayed about him. Remember that? I said, Father, I pray that this relationship, that individual she's concerned about, Lord, let her know he's going to be okay. And all of a sudden, she realized what was going on. And I bet she hugged me three times, just like, thank you so much. I said, now listen, I go, I am not asking you to come to my church. And I always carry four or five of those cards, the trump cards in my pocket. I said, listen, I'm not inviting you to my church, but listen, if you see that kid or find that kid again, on the back of the card is it's just right there, but our address, our email, and our website, send them our way, because we can help him probably quicker than getting him to the church that she thought maybe she could get him to. And if she got him to that church, that's fine. What's my point? My point is this. Not only was it a divine appointment, but if you'll take the opportunity and take a card with you and ask God to set you up, he'll set you up. To set you up. The problem is this. The problem is fear. The problem is that this whole weekend we taught on authentic love. We taught about activating the love of the Father inside his sons and daughters. We all have it. You don't have to ask for it. It's already there. You know, in Genesis, very beginning, I think it's Genesis chapter 1. Let me read this to you. Genesis 1, 28 says, God commands, ordains his created being called man to execute five things. Now check what it says. The five actions. Well, let me just actually read it for you instead of just highlighting the things. Now just hang on for a second because I want to take you through to this morning probably a type of activation kind of that follows up on the whole weekend. Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. It said, and God blessed them. Isn't that awesome that God blesses his children? He blesses us all the time, right? We are blessed people. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Check this out. There are five actions that take place just in this one little verse. He ordains, if you will, his created being called man to execute five specific things and instills in him, man, the potential to accomplish each one. He wouldn't have put his Holy Spirit inside of us and give us power if he didn't think that that power could bring dominion to the earth and bring reformation to cities and change to people's lives. You carry the very DNA of God. Your life has the potential to change the atmosphere every single place you walk. Every building you enter, every home that you walk into, every business that you engage in, I promise you what's inside of you can change the very world in which you live. It's interesting to note, in my opinion, let me just say those five actions. Be fruitful, grow. Multiply. Replenish, fill, subdue, take dominion, have dominion, control, or govern. Five actions there you can find in Genesis chapter 1. It's interesting to me that four of the five of these, or 80% of what God first ordained us to do, deals with producing something. Production, bringing into existence, giving rise to, leading. We have been called to bring the existence of Christ, if you will, to the world in which we live. They don't know he's around. They don't know he exists unless you and I demonstrate God's goodness. It's production. To produce simply means this. It means to literally bring forth, to lead, bring into existence. Productivity is the ability to produce. Productivity is the ability to produce. I submit to us this morning that God ordained us to be producers. Adam and Eve were to produce or bring forth into existence results from what God had given to them. He gave them the earth. He said, now I've given you the earth, now take dominion. I want you to fill the earth, reproduce, if you will. I want you to grow crops. I put you in the perfect environment. I'm convinced that that the Garden of Eden was a perfect environment. Completely convinced. He created this perfect place called the Garden of Eden. And it wasn't until man made a decision, right, to eat of the fruit that changed the whole atmosphere over the Garden of Eden. He wants us to produce something. What is it that holds us back? I believe it's fear. We've talked on fear before, but I'm convinced it's what, even yesterday we had, you know, before we sent everybody out, there was obviously conversations going on of people being afraid to go to the streets and simply love. Like some of you probably didn't come because you were afraid, if you were to be honest. Like, I don't really know if I really want to go do this street stuff. It's really not the right phrase for it. Going to the streets is not the right language. It's learning how to do life every day with the abundance of God's love and looking. See, this is the problem I think a lot of us have, making time for it, making allowance for it, making it a priority that wherever I am. See, I think what happens sometimes, we go to a grocery store, we feel like God might be breathing on something, you know, Dorothy, and we feel like God might be moving in a moment. And what happens is we're inconvenienced. Like, I've got a busy schedule, man. I got to get home. And the reality is we're going to go home and sit in front of the TV and do nothing. Or we're going to, you get what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying it well, but reality is we don't make allowance for the Father to use us. And then we wonder why he's not using us. He's called us to produce, if you will, in the kingdom, something of value. Your life, my life, is important to the Father. He wants us to do things that only we can do with the power that's inside of us. Let me just go quickly to a couple of things. I love this line. T.S. Eliot says these words. He goes, only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. I want to say it one more time. Only those who will risk going too far can possibly find out how far one can go. You'll never know how far God, how far you can go with God unless you begin to risk and step out and begin to make mistakes. But I don't think they're mistakes. I don't think you can go out and say something wrong and that be a mistake. I think, listen, there's so many times I've said something even behind, you know, this table here on a Sunday, and what I said isn't what somebody heard. You can make a mistake by giving your life away to somebody in a grocery store, at your school, at a New Age shop, and it come out completely wrong, completely opposite of what you thought you should be saying, and they heard exactly what you wanted to say. That's supernatural. Right? I hope you're tracking with what I'm trying to say. I've decided something, even this weekend. I've decided that I'm no longer willing to simply follow a path of everyone else. The church in America depends on a man behind a pulpit to grow the church, to get more people in the building, to get... I don't want to follow that path. I want to believe the path to follow is one that we're going to go on an adventure together. We said at the beginning of the year, this was gonna be a year of the great adventure. This was gonna be a year where we're gonna go where we've never gone before. I'm completely convinced that we're at this place with 40 days of hope, that we're about to break into something, but not just break into something. I believe we're about to break through and then break out. You see, when the breaker anointing comes and you begin to break through what has once been a barrier for you, It's been a threshold that's kept you back. It's been a doorway that's kept you from stepping into your future. I'm convinced we're about to see that door break wide open, and you're going to cross the threshold, and you're going to look around and go, wow, this is good. But he doesn't want you to stand there and look at the goodness. He wants you now to break out and into your destiny. You can cross over, and we've all crossed over many times in the last many years that we've been together. But I'm tired of crossing over. I'm tired of crossing over. I'm ready for us to cross over and then break out, you guys. Yesterday, some people crossed over. They crossed a threshold. They walked across that threshold and go, oh my goodness, this is way better than I ever thought it could be. And now, because they've crossed over into something new, now they're going to break out. Why? Because you've tasted the goodness of God now. You've realized that fear doesn't have to hold anybody back. Angelica, right? Was it amazing? You're a pretty timid, kind of quiet person. Wouldn't that be true? But you went yesterday and you got rocked. Got rocked. Kelly, you're pretty quiet and timid. I'm standing this, downtown La Mesa, and all of a sudden I see like a lightning bolt go to the middle of the street, and I go, phew, and there goes Kelly, right? Just, and there's this woman with all purple on, like purple hair, purple clothes, right? Everything purple, right? Kelly was just on it, man, like bam, right in the middle of La Mesa Boulevard, downtown La Mesa, just standing there talking, like, it was awesome. It's time to cross over, you guys. I've said this for so long. We're not going to grow this church. We're not going to grow our circle of influence simply by getting a lot more people in the building. We grow the influence of our church by sons and daughters walking in the truth of who they are and then releasing who they are whenever opportunity allows for the love of the Father to be expressed to those in need. And there's around every one of us, every day, there's a great amount of need. Who's going to minister to that need lest we do it, right? Who's going to do it lest we do it? One person can't do it. You can't depend on Nancy to be the queen of outreach. You can't expect Nancy and Tommy to be the only ones that do what we're talking about. There's many of you in this room that have got that kind of anointing. And I'm not going to go through what we trained you people in yesterday because everybody's different. You're not going to be Nancy, but Angelica is a great example of just being someone that's not an extrovert that can still give away the goodness of God and see signs and wonders follow them that believe. The scripture doesn't teach that you have to have a type A personality before God will use you in signs and wonders. If you only believe is really the prerequisite. I believe. Therefore, Lord, help my unbelief, right? It's fear or lack of boldness that will never take us where he intended for us to go. 2 Timothy 1:7. This is where I want to just camp for a couple of minutes and then we're going to release this. 2 Timothy 1:7. Verse 6 says, "For this reason I reminded you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Now check this out. "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control." Some translations say sound mind. The New Testament describes there's different kinds of fear explained in the scripture. Some mean cowardice, a shrinking, a fearfulness. I want to talk about real quickly these three things in 2 Timothy. God has not given us a spirit of fear, of power, love, and a sound mind. This power, it's an inherent power. It's a power that resides in a thing by virtue of its nature. Check this out. "Or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth power for performing miracles." It's a dunamis power. It's a dynamic power. It's a dynamite power that God put inside of you. And there's five different kinds of power listed in the New Testament. This is one. But what it speaks of here is dunamis power. It's a dynamite power. And when you begin to step out by faith and you begin to love people not just into the kingdom, that girl that I prayed for at the gas station, I don't know where she is in her walk with God. I didn't invite her to Cross Point. I just give away the goodness of God. But if we let fear keep us from doing that, the power that I had to give her a word of knowledge about somebody that she was concerned about, she never would have been encouraged in her faith. You don't know what somebody's waiting for. You might be the person that can help break them out of a complete demonic funk. And in one moment, God speaks to you and you pray for them and you loose the threshold, you loose the authority of the evil one over their life. Right? You don't know unless you step out into it. Never will know. In other words, fear that is spoken like in 2 Timothy causes us to shrink back from God's design for us to walk in the miraculous power to perform signs and wonders and miracles. So I don't have fear. I think if that's true, and we say we don't have fear or anything, then we need to begin to testify more of the opportunities you have to give away the goodness of God. Because if it's not fear, then what is it that keeps us from bringing people into the kingdom? I'm just asking. If it's not fear, if it's not some kind of a phobia that keeps us from giving away the goodness of God, then what is it that keeps us from really bringing more people into relationship with Christ? Apathy, excuse, the bullet points could go on. The second part, love. This love that's spoken here in 2 Timothy is agape love. We talked about it all weekend. Activating love. Jamie did such a great job. Such a great job. He's so pure in what he does. I went out with him and his wife for a little bit on the street. And I said, let me go buy you a cup of coffee. Because he looked like he needs some coffee. And so we're walking towards the coffee shop. And his wife, Colette, and I are walking. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where'd Jamie go? We look back and he's got this guy cornered, talking to him. So I went over and just put my ear up, you know, and listened to what he was saying. It was just so good how he just releases the kindness of Jesus. The kid was like probably 18 or 19, was not freaked out. He goes, yeah, you're right, man. I do have a leadership thing on me. I people tell me all the time. La Mesa got rocked yesterday. Rocked. So I'm not going to even touch on that particular thing called love because you could have been, you know, heard that this weekend. But the last part, the sound mind part, or self-control. A sound mind is one that is self-controlled, put it that way. God has given us sound minds, peace. In the original language, the word here has the idea of a calm and self-controlled mind. In contrast to the panic and confusion that rushes in on us when we're in a fearful or very tense situation. God's given us gifts. He's given us things to do. But fear and timidity will keep us from holding, being bold in our declaration of his love and power as seen through a calm spirit or sound mind. Nobody yesterday was crazy. Like, it was just simply walking around, God highlighting somebody, walking over to him, introducing yourself in just this calm fashion. See us charismaniacs? We sometimes think things have to be crazy. They don't. They don't. Let me wrap this up. Adam and Eve went into the garden. He buried and hid what his master had given to him because of fear. Adam hid his glory. Think about this for a minute. Adam hid his glory himself behind a fig leaf to be safe. The servant in the scriptures, hid what was given to him in the ground. Remember the parable of the talents? Put a talent in the ground, he hid it. Because he's afraid of loss. He's afraid that if he didn't hide it, somebody would take it from him. Instead of taking what God's put inside of us and giving it away, sometimes we hide what God's given to us. And instead of us doing what the Father's required of us, we tend to hide behind a fig leaf, so to speak. What phobia is causing us to run away and hide from what God's called us to? In this room this morning, there's some of us that are world changers, and we're waiting for the right moment to step out and do what God's called us to do. He's saying, no, I'm not waiting. Just do it now. Cross the threshold and go do it. Stop waiting, because there's a whole world awaiting. But unless you're willing to step across that threshold and into that place, you'll never know. Stand with me this morning. Let's see. Which one of our team members would like to come up and just share real quick what happened on stream? Any of them? Like, Darcy? Darcy, how about you? Yeah, good call. Come on, Darcy. Walk up here. With boldness. No timidity. What happened to you guys yesterday?
So we went to Walmart neighborhood, and we decided just to invade and walked around a little bit. The woman I had was April. She was an amazing leader for us. And I told her, I was like, if you can get me to the person, I'll do it. So she's like, but I'm gonna do it once, and then you're gonna have to do it yourself. So I did it once with her, and it was amazing. We met this one couple that it was just a mother and son combo, and I didn't know. And I just felt like I was supposed to tell her I wanted to pray for her son. And she goes, oh, this is my son. I'm like, oh, well, okay, can I pray for you? And I looked at him and I said, I sensed the chaos was going inside of him. And I said, I really feel God wants to bring peace to this chaos that's going on inside of you and bring direction to where you feel like you have none. And he just broke, like right in front of me, and it was just the coolest thing to see. And he took his hat off and just bent it down and was like, thank you, like that, you know, like that touched me. And then his mom is like, you know, all teary-eyed because of it. And she said her name was Melanie, but I kept hearing Melody. And I was like, okay, maybe I'm just wrong. Maybe I'm just playing with myself, but I felt like God said that she has an amazing voice, and he loves to hear her voice, and he wants to see her.
Oh, wow.
And so I just was bold and said it. I felt like I was silly, but she said, you're so right on. And it was so cool. That was the coolest like encounter that I had with some people. And then I was walking around again, and I was supposed to be bold and go up to someone. And so I found these two African-American women that just looked like they're so happy. And so I went up to them, and I was like, hi, and was bold and talked to them. One woman I could feel was carrying burdens. And I just said, I just said it and prayed for her. And I said, I feel like you were carrying on too much stress. Can I pray for you and release that and have you release that and know that you can't be carrying that stuff around? She loved it. She received it. And I felt like the woman next to her had a son, and he was a mighty warrior of God, and that he could hear the war beat even at this young age. Well, he was one. And she said that he loves, and that she did have a son, and it was the only kid she had, and that he loves war, like he loves worship music and stuff. So that was like my encounter and that was a really cool. Yeah, and I was bold. It was bold.
Yeah, Jamie said something really cool. He said, some of you are going to go out and do excellent, amazing things. Some of you are going to do good things. Because every time you go out, Do awesome, amazing things happen. But you're going to do good things, because when you release the goodness of God, whether there's a sign and a wonder or not, you're releasing God's goodness on somebody. That's a good thing. That makes sense? Sometimes you'll go out and there'll be amazing healings, there'll be amazing revelation, and you'll just be profoundly blown away. Like, God, you're using me, right? I still get blown away when someone goes, how did you know that? Like, I didn't, but God lives in me, and he shows me things, right? Anybody else? One more from the group yesterday. Kel, you want to do yours? Nothing really happened, right? Just one. Just one.
Okay, so it was so... No, yeah. Yeah, it was so cool just to say, hi, how are you? I really like what you're wearing. It was cool because I didn't have to be like, hey, do you know Jesus? Like right off the bat, like I was able to compliment them first and feel things out. And I went into a hairdresser and we were talking with this woman about hair products, okay? And all of a sudden I go, oh, how's your tattoo? Because I knew that God was going to do something prophetic through that. And then she says, oh, it's the wings of my Jesus, bloody, not bloody blah, but like it had, it was like all Jesus. And I was like, okay, we can like pray in the middle of the hair place. Like, and we just all got into a circle and we were just prophesying and just, she also goes to that wonderful church that Pastor loves so much. But anyway.
I do love it, I do.
You do. Yeah. So it was just cool because I didn't have to be like Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. No. Like it just came naturally.
Be
yeah.
Just be you, yeah. Right? Yeah. All right. Awesome. All right. So listen, I guess the whole thing about today is just don't let fear, don't let some kind of a phobia, don't let anything hinder you from God. Hey, sit down, Roman, real quick. I'm sorry, I got you up a little bit premature. How are you? Tell me your name again.
Abby.
Abby. Hi, Abby. This is Abby. Say hi, everybody. Hi. Abby was with us this weekend, and she came in today and brought her family, I believe. Who else is here? You guys are all good. Glad you guys are here. Thanks for coming. Said you had a word for me, for the house. What is it for? Is that okay? Did you have a word? Yeah. Well, I'm going to make sure it's for the house first, Jim, before we do. So did you have something you want to release over us?
Well, one, because I didn't know if this is from the Lord or not, but like, let me, so that means the table. Yeah. And I was telling everyone like how at churches I've been eating off the floor and not eating the food from the table. Mm. And I felt like this place is a place where you guys eat from the table and not from the crumbs off the floor. And I've been to like several churches, like so many different kinds. And when I walked in this place, I felt like I was eating from the table. And that's what La Mesa means, I think, in Spanish. Yeah, yeah. And I think, and yeah, I just, that's how, I didn't know if that was from the Lord or what, but that's what I felt, and that's what I've been telling all my friends, and like,
yeah. Is that encouraging? So. Yeah. See? You did right. Yay. Good job, Beth. Come on, girl. That's awesome. Thank you. Okay, that's encouraging, right? Becky Jordan, she and her husband moved back to North Carolina or South Carolina? North Carolina, I think. One of the Carolinas. And Becky, years and years and years ago, had the same word that not only we live in La Mesa, the table, but this would be a place where people could come to be fed. Really, not of the scraps, but really the true bread of heaven. Guys, don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of what God's called us to. Don't lose sight by what you see in the natural. Ask God to reveal what's going on in the spirit realm and hang on to that, because sometimes that's all I can hang on to. When I look at the normal metrics of what makes churches function, I can sometimes be a bit discouraged. You can look at other churches, and this church in particular that we've made mention of, I honor. Matter of fact, last Friday night after I prayed with this gal, she told me where she went to church. I literally began to pray for that pastor in the church on the way home, because they've done such an amazing job throughout San Diego, and it's not out of jealousy. It's become kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke when you say to somebody, where do you go? Everybody says The Rock. But listen, Miles has done a great job. And God's honored his evangelistic heart, and people come and they find Jesus. But I want my portion of that. And I don't have the gift that Miles has. I'm more of an apostolic kind of prophetic guy. I'm not the evangelist. We've got evangelists in the room that need to help us win La Mesa, win East County, win people to Christ, and find this home, right? Abby, what you shared, find a place where they could come and be fed. Does that make sense? Be encouraged today. God's on the move. And I have the sense by March or April 9, the last day of 40 days, Palm Sunday, which, by the way, we have an amazing meal prepared that day. So come after church. We do a Palm Sunday meal, luncheon in our fireside room. It's such a wonderful time together. Come and join us. Bring somebody with you. And then that night here in the sanctuary, 40 Days of Hope is wrapping up a rally for the 40 days right here at Crosspoint. So join us. Crosspoint's in the middle of everything. Whether you know it or not, we are. Some would say you're small, but man, we may be small in context, but man, God is using you guys to touch the world. Jesus had 12 and it ruined the world, right? We got way more than that. Okay, now you can stand up. Lift up a hand to heaven and just say, Jesus, I'm here. Now careful of this next part, use me. I give you permission to set up divine appointments. Let the love inside of me just come out and love on people. The unlovables, I'm willing to love. Just direct me, Lord. Use me, Father. There's an old song that we used to sing right here. It's not old, but it's just an old worship song. It said, if you can use anyone, Lord, you can use me. And I just pray that in Jesus' name over all of you today, that God would just use us all to rock the world with the love of Christ. May God bless you. May he keep you. May this be the most amazing week you've ever had. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.